Everett, Fox 17 sports anchor, former LSU graduate. Tatum, thanks so much for hopping on.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate the little LSU shout out too.
Yeah, because that's a big part, right? I mean, you know, obviously this year was a real drag.
Yeah, you could say that. I think the motto this year was, hey, at least we had 2019.
See, that's a good mindset, because would you really want to be the COVID Cup champion winner? You know, you got it in like a real competitive year.
Now you're right, for sure. But let's say it didn't happen last year and happened this year. I would have still said, you know, yeah, sure, I would have loved to see the COVID Cup, because, you know, I think you become more grateful for things when it doesn't happen often. It's true. And I'm not saying anything against Alabama. It's amazing. They've produced such a machine, and not saying they're not grateful every year, but it does kind of, like, I actually had an Alabama fan tell me one time, yeah, I kind of actually stopped watching because I just knew they were going to win. And I was like, whoa, like that kind of shook me a little bit. I was like, okay, now.
Well, that makes so much sense, because it does get, like, it's like we all got tired of the NBA finals because it was Cleveland and Golden State for so many years, right? And you're just like, who cares who wins, like, at this point, because you just don't want to see the same thing. That's my problem, and this is I did not think we were going to talk about this, but let's get into it. I hate the college football playoffs because they like, it's just gotten so predictable. Even this year, like, they could have chose this playoff at the beginning of the season, and we never had a season, and we still would have came out with the same outcome, I think.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. And that's what they're trying to fix. But the only way to do that is to add more games. And, you know, with player likeness coming out, I think that might be, if you have more games, you add things to these college kids' schedule, I think that could be a benefit of it, because if you're not letting them do that, then they're playing all these extra games, and that's wear and tear on their bodies, and that could be costing career years down the line. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a slippery slope there that you keep walking. But, I mean, we all remember the BCS. That was also kind of just all over the place. It was kind of fun that a computer would decide as opposed to human beings. I don't really know which I prefer, honestly.
Well, who's controlling that computer? You know what I mean? Somebody built the system, like, and it was clearly an Alabama fan, right? Like, even in the BCS time. But, like, what are your thoughts on expanding? Like, do you agree with expanding the college football playoffs, and how many teams do you think? Because before you answer, I asked the question to answer it myself, selfishly. But I think I have, like, this weird idea that, like, so I think they should expand it six teams, but the two last teams, instead of being the number five and number six team that gets in, I think they should do more of an NBA lottery style for the top 25. And you get the top 25, and kind of the same way, the closer you are to the 6 and 7, the better chance you have of winning the lottery. But it brings in that chance that even a team who's near the end, who maybe they didn't have the strength of schedule, like a UCF in 2013, or whenever they had that 10-0 season, maybe they can get a chance to play against the big dogs, and because they got in the lottery.
That's a very unique one. I don't think I've ever heard that before.
I strive for that, Tatum.
You know, I agree with you. I don't think I have a solution in my head. And I've thought about this a lot, and it's just very it's hard. It's hard to you want to see a Cincinnati in there. You want to see these teams that have won their conference, have great records, like this season with Coastal or things like that, just to get a chance. Because, I mean, to be honest, I'm sure there are so many people out there that would have watched Coastal take on Notre Dame in a playoff round or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to me, that's a way more appealing matchup than having to watch Clemson play Alabama again or Ohio State again. And so, you know, I don't have a solution. I mean, I think they're going to expand no matter what, because what else are they going to do? Their viewership is not exactly getting any better with this method. And I think that with that being the driving force behind all of college football, the TV rights and things like that, it's just a bit more attitude. I mean, how many bowls do we have now? You know, it's just
That's the thing. If you expand that, then maybe you can take away some of these, you know, Bob's Backyard Burgers bowl or whatever, you know, whatever hell they're doing nowadays. So, like, I feel like that kind of silences that crowd too, with the idea that, you know, a 3-7 team got into a bowl this year and all this different stuff. You could take some of that away and maybe make some of these, you know, the Fiesta Bowl or whatever bowl you want to have more pride and have more meaning to it. I don't like, it's just, it's weird. You're right. The ratings are way down and they're going to have to fix something. Talking with Tatum Everett, Fox 17, let's switch over to the Titans, because that was kind of more of the main idea that I thought we were going to talk about. But always happy to take tangents. You know, that's if you've ever listened to the show, that is 100%. I have ADHD through the wazoo, so we're going to just, a lot of lines get connected with imaginary dots. So to the Titans, obviously losing Arthur Smith. First off, how do you think Arthur Smith is going to do in Atlanta?
Well, he's going into a much better situation, I think, than if he had gotten the Jets position or Eagles. I mean, even you could even say the Eagles. I mean, Atlanta has a couple of years left with, you know, Matt Ryan. Todd Gurley wasn't good this season. Maybe that's a Derrick Henry situation where, well, that's a little bit of a stretch. I don't think that completely, but I think maybe it can ignite Gurley to be better for the Falcons this year. I say that being a Saints fan, so I'm kind of like, good hire, kind of don't like that. But I do like Arthur. I think he is a smart guy. He's been around the Titans for so long. Joe Gibbs took a chance on him. I think that people have seen what he is capable of doing and how much respect he can garner from the players, and has moved his way up through the hard way. And so I'm excited to see what he can do. You know, not having been a head coach anywhere, I think it's hard to assume somebody's going to just be great or be awful or anything. So, but watching him over the last two seasons with that offense, I think that's a very promising hire.
I kind of differ on that idea that I think it's good. I think it's good for him, right? Like, but my worry is that, and this is so outside, like, perspective. I'm not Arthur Smith. I don't know him personally. I don't know any of these situations. I've never been in that situation, right? I've never been hired as a coach for anything, nor should I. But I feel like this is maybe a bit premature for him to jump into the head coaching spot. And when I look at, like, a team like Atlanta, I almost wonder, you know, yeah, they're bringing an offensive-minded guy, but was it really offense was their problem? It was their defense that, you know, letting outrageous amount of points, mm-hmm. not being able to get sacks, all these different things.
Letting teams back in the game.
Exactly, yes. And I wonder if, you know, one, has he been around long enough to have the quote-unquote networking committee to say, okay, I can find a good group of guys, a good group of people to come in and be my coaching staff that's going to help me in the areas where I need help, where I need, like, the defensive minded stuff? Or, mm-hmm. you know, did we also see, because I think this is a fair thing too, you know, you look at the Titans and yes, they're uber successful on the offensive side this season, and they have been these past 2 years, but how hard was it to say, okay, let's hand it off to a 2,000-yard running back and then build a play-action scheme around it? I'm not saying that, you know, this is, I'm not trying to take away from anything Arthur Smith did, but he didn't exactly have to, you know, write the whole book on offensive scheming to figure this out.
Sure. I mean, those are all very good points. I think that's the mystery of it all. We don't really know what he told the Falcons or on these coaching interviews, what he's planned for defense, the defensive side of things. I don't even think he's had a press conference yet, really, to even kind of lay out just even the media side, because you know there's so many moving parts behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Even his media, quote-unquote, like, safe for viewers, defensive plan. So we haven't, you know, we're not privy to any of that just yet. I think it is going to be very interesting to see what direction he takes from all this. Like you said, he's been with the Titans for so long. Who has he met? Who has he been around? I mean, I will say, like, you know, the Titans are such an offensive team, and Vrabel's a defensive mindset kind of guy. So I think you can obviously be successful in that sense. But, again, it's promising to me after being around him. I like the guy. He is definitely going to be very different from Dan Quinn, which for obvious reasons, from offensively and defensively minded. But when I was talking to a lot of the media members in Atlanta, they were asking me asking me about what's his demeanor, how is he around players, and Dan Quinn was so in your face, attitude, rah rah, all this energy all the time, and they were telling me it got old around there, that it was just kind of like, I don't really know what that means. It just wasn't very fresh to them, and so I think that maybe just a different perspective could be good for them. So. I told him, I was like, you know, as much energy as you got from Dan Quinn, I don't know if you're going to get that kind of energy from Arthur. I mean, he's a real nice guy, super friendly, but he's not going to be like the, in the middle of the huddle, like, you know,
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
Guy, so.
Yeah. Would you consider this Titans season a failure or a success?
Oh, wow. Good question.
That's the first time I've heard that on this show, Tatum. Thank you. We're going to clip. Hey, Ray, clip that real quick. That's going into the intro.
You know, I do think it's a success to some extent. I mean, to have a program and to be successful for multiple years is obviously one of the goals. You know, not everyone wins the Super Bowl at the end of the season, clearly.
Right.
And I do think that the expectations were extra high because you did have kind of a magical run, per se, last year. But I mean, to win the division was such a monkey off the back. Like, that was something they had been trying to do, you know, 3+ years in a row, and it was coming down to the final games of the season, and just to like be able to do that, I think, was great. I think after that, you know, kind of it's hit or miss. I think you could definitely take away positives, but I don't think they played up to their potential, if you know, if that's a better way of putting it.
Well, you know, there's a lot of, like, if we're talking from Titans fan, you know, mindset, last season was this weird, shocking, like, nobody expected them to go to the AFC Championship, let alone compete in the AFC Championship. And you can make the argument, had they held out and beat the Chiefs, they probably win the Super Bowl that year, just as bad as what the 49ers looked. But, you know, now there's that expectation, the signing of Jadeveon Clowney, which I was one of the people that said, yes, this is a terrific signing. This is a terrific thing that they should have done. They were trying to fill a need, and he, on paper, filled the need, and it didn't work out. And Vic Beasley, that one we can all say, okay, that was a stupid move. Probably shouldn't have brought Vic Beasley in. There was like 40 red flags that popped up on that before that even came in. But, you know, how much rope do you think Robinson still has with not only, you know, Amy Adams and the involvement with Tennessee, but just in his career here right now? Because there's been obviously a history for the Titans in wasting potential. You know, Marcus Mariota's name pops up right first thing in my mind, is that, you know, all the changes he had to go through and didn't really get a chance to be the guy he was. Now, you know, you have Tannehill, who's revitalized, but, you know, still he's aging, and you have Derrick Henry, who's in the prime right now. Obviously AJ Brown, young, still moving forward. Corey Davis, who knows what's going to be happening with that situation. But, you know, how much rope do you think he has left and clout really here in Tennessee?
I mean, I do think he whiffed big this year. I think his draft picks, you can't predict the injuries they had. I mean, I do think the red flags with Isaiah Wilson is something to be concerned about.
How does that one go through? How do they miss on that so much that they didn't catch his personality?
You know, it's crazy because you know that he comes from a university that is well known. The coaches probably spoke highly of him, or he wouldn't have gone that high in the draft. And honestly, he was very personable when we interviewed him. We got a couple of one-on-ones in the beginning. He seemed just like a really nice, grateful human being. And then it just seems to be that ever since then, that's just not the case. I wish I, you know, I don't know how that happens. But I do think that, You know, I mean, I think Robinson will be the first to tell you those kinds of decisions, you know, Beasley, Clowney, and Wilson from this season, all fall on his shoulders. But there are a couple of, you know, great moves he's made, a couple of great decisions he's made as far as signing Tannehill in the offseason. I don't think anybody was real high on that signing as a backup, kind of, you know, a little mystery to that. Picking up A.J. Brown was a good one. I do think he's helped build something. I think in the next season or two, he's going to have to sustain that. Because the NFL is just a business of continuing to grow. Like, you have to build some type of sustainability of success in order to stay around. And you can't have, you know, flashes in a pan like last season. I think this season you get a break-ish. You know, it's a tough year. It's a COVID year. Like I said earlier, the draft picks, you can't predict how many injuries they were going to have from those guys this season. They need to perform. They need to do well in the draft this year. If the defense doesn't shore up their pass rushing problems, though, I'm not sure how much longer Robinson would be here. But I do think that he's done a solid job of putting the Titans back into the conversation, or of being one of the, you know, better teams in the NFL. Now they have to take the next step and continuously go to the playoffs, you know, go further than the first round, host multiple playoff games. I mean, I thought it was pretty ironic or strange. I actually didn't know this until I watched the broadcast last night, that Aaron Rodgers has never played in an NFC championship in Lambeau. I think that was pretty surprising. So think of all the success they've had with him, and he's never done that. So I think you have to start doing things like that to stay up there. And I think Robinson has a little bit more leeway for sure, because I don't think he's completely, for me at least, I don't think he's done a poor enough job to warrant someone else coming in yet.
Right. Talking with Tatum Everett. I can say that right. It's just my job to talk. Yeah. You know, that's literally the one thing I had to get up here and do, and then I messed that up with Fox 17. Now. There's obviously, I want to get your, because I'm, you know, we're all in those Zoom meeting calls, and I guess really anybody could watch that stuff. They put it on like Periscope and all that for the Titans.
Yeah, it's live on Twitter now.
All the flubs, just, you know, there's no hiding it anymore. If somebody doesn't silence their phone or computer, it's like, it's a whole wild, wild west out there. But the last Vrabel press conference, or maybe it was the one right after, it was the Monday after the loss. Okay. He said something that kind of struck a little bit of a nerve with me, and I just wonder what your thoughts on it. And he said that, you know, he talked about the defensive coordinator position and said that he didn't realize that this was going to take on a life of its own, and essentially said that all season it was Shane Bowen who was actually the defensive coordinator. He just didn't have the title. Do you think that was him throwing Bowen a little bit under the bus? Or, because I wonder, had they been a successful defense, does Shane Bowen's name ever even really get mentioned? And Mike Vrabel says, yeah, you know, we just figured out the defensive coordinator. I'm still going to be calling these plays. I was a little shocked by that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we knew all of the things he said. Like, we knew that Shane Bowen was leading the meetings, calling the plays. That was something Vrabel said all season long. Now, the problem is that he could have put it to bed if he had just given him the title. And that's true. It grew a life of its own because Vrabel refused to put a title on something that was clearly needing a title. I do think that the guy that... It's hard because you do want to place the blame on somebody for this. That's kind of what you do in this industry. Somebody's at fault. They lose their job. Somebody's at fault. Changes have to happen. And it's hard because he didn't outright say he's the defensive coordinator. I think it is going to be a huge mystery as to why he never did. Because I think he can say all day, like, oh, I didn't think it would take a life of its own. But, like, it did because people kept repeatedly asking after every game that you lost about the defense. Like, that was a question that was in the press conference almost every week. So for me, it's like, Vrabel's a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why, you know, to him, that was okay to keep deferring and deflecting and making it seem like, hey, guys, I've told you this a million times before. Like, it's whatever. I don't have an answer for you for that. So it was a strange situation. I haven't heard the take. I haven't really thought about that before, about it being like, oh, because if they're not great, put it on Bowen. I don't know if I necessarily got that sense. I mean, maybe that's kind of the drift, but
I just wonder, had it happened, would he have said, yeah, you know, Bowen's done a terrific job, you know, leading our defense?
Good question. But I think at the end of the day, like, because of the way he set it up, though, it's on Vrabel.
Yeah. Well, and that maybe it's just poor timing. Maybe it was just poor choice of words and timing and so many things.
But he did it all season. That was my thing.
Like, yeah.
Yes, he didn't come out and say it in the beginning and all during camp. Who's going to call the plays? Who's going to be the defense coordinator? All those kind of questions coming up. And he just never addressed it. For me, that's on Vrabel. And I understand the players really had no idea. But if I'm doing all of the work as a defensive coordinator and I'm being called just the outside linebackers coach or whatever, and I don't have the title, I hope he was getting paid for it. But if I didn't have the title, I'd be a little upset. It'd be like, hey, Tatum, why don't you go out and anchor all of our sports shows for the week? And then when our ratings are bad, they're like, oh, but you were the lead anchor. It's kind of weird, right?
Yeah. You're the fill-in, but now all of a sudden the blame's been shifted. And, yeah, it's good to know that does happen in other professions, including the NFL.
I don't know if that's
right?
Actually happened. I mean, that's kind of happened some places, not here. But,
right.
But that does happen.
That's every job, right? I was a manager of a Hertz rental car at one point, and that definitely happened when it was nothing of my fault.
I was told early in my career, hey, we don't think you're ready to anchor yet. And my, like, first week on the job, so I was hired as a reporter. First week on the job, they were like, hey, we don't have anyone to weekend anchor. Could you fill in? And then I never got off the desk on the weekends. And I was like, this is an interesting play.
Made for this. Built different. Just built different. Yeah. let me switch over now, just because Pred started. Philip Forsberg, is he going to have 56 goals this year?
Let's hope, right? I mean, hey, let's keep scoring as much as they're scoring right now. It's so nice and refreshing to see. What really hit me this week, I liked the fact that Coach Hines came into this, I think it was the first press conference after the win. I can't really quite remember. There have been so many, which is, it's been fun. He said, you know, in the first game, I challenged these guys to build that identity in the first game. Like, let's come out and, like, this is who we are. And I think I don't know if last year was just the kick in the butt they needed, the new faces, the new blood on the roster, but it just seems to be working. Now, they have started out the season really well before,
mm-hmm,
and it hasn't gone very well down the stretch. So, I mean, I'm excited that it's like a condensed season. It's these games matter more, and I know it's just, you know, like maybe 30-ish games less, but like, it's kind of exciting. It gives that football feel where like these games mean more. So I'm excited for them. I think the fresh faces are great. Like, Luke Cunningham is really good.
Yeah, I think your SEC side showing out just means more, right?
I know.
Gotta love it.
And every time I say that, I like roll my eyes at myself because
you hear the chant.
Like they just kind of took away a phrase I would use normally and then marketed it and made people hate it. So
gotta love it. Well, Tatum Everett with Fox 17. Let them know where they can find you, social medias, all that different stuff, websites.
Yeah. Well, I'm on Twitter. It's really easy, at Tatum Everett. Just really simple, just my name, because I'm actually not the only one, which is really strange. So my Instagram's a little bit different. But yeah, I'm on Facebook at Tatum Everett Fox 17 Sports. And then you can obviously watch me on Fox 17 most nights, 5 nights a week.
So. Well, I appreciate you coming on. Hopefully next time we can get you on and actually get you in the studio and maybe do like a whole show kind of thing.
Oh, that would be great. I mean, any type of normalcy is welcome in my life right now.
Right. Well, Tatum, thanks so much. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.